Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is an absolute delight to be here, is it not, Scott?
It is.
What a great day. What another really good day, jamming out with the flute.
I like it.
Yeah. You ever seen them live?
No.
Oh, man, they're incredible. I've seen them live many times, and they are playing the flute. The guy's just incredible. So, saw them recently, this summer, downtown Greenville. They had a little concert series. Had Edwin McCain on another date. I mean, it was all kind of neat little at the amphitheater downtown behind the Peace Center. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By no way did I get paid to give that plug. But maybe I should send them a bill. What do you say? But really, really good venue. So, and I'm sure many of our listenership cities in Columbia and Charleston, I'm sure they have the same. And nothing like hanging around. Enjoying the outdoors, the landscapes. See, that's how I tie this all back together.
I see how you do that.
See what I'm doing there? Tie it all back together.
And this weekend's going to be great to do it.
This week?
This weekend.
This weekend. Yeah, maybe this week will be great, too. We'll see. You're tuned into the Yard Pro Show, folks, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. It is an absolute delight, as you can tell, for us to be here. We are a live format show. It is a call-in show. It is a texting show. And we would love to hear from you. Because without you, the listener, or more importantly, the participant, the show may take on a whole new meaning. So phone lines are open. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Here we are. Happy Turkey Day right around the corner.
Well, that came up fast.
Yeah, it's about time, though, because, you know, we've all been listening to Christmas music for like a month. You know? I thought Turkey Day, I thought I missed it. A couple weeks ago, I got in the truck, man. Had scrolled through. I don't know how the truck. Maybe someone else was driving. I don't know how it got turned off of one particular radio station I always listen to. But I was listening to Christmas music, and all of a sudden, man, I got like the cold sweats. I was like, man, did I sleep through Thanksgiving? Made me wonder. So guess what, folks? Thanksgiving, you hadn't missed it if you're like me. You haven't missed it. It's coming up this week. So happy Thanksgiving. Wouldn't you say?
I would.
It's a busy week in the yard, especially with the weather. You know, with the weather we had last week, I think there's going to be a whole lot of buzz and activity. Speaking of weather, it's about that time. Drum roll. There it is. It's the weekly U.S. Drought Monitor update for the state of South Carolina as of November the 13th, which was actually released on the 15th of this week. So this was taken on the 13th, so Tuesday, okay, before we got even more rain. But as of Tuesday, we had 85.53%. It was unchanged from the previous week. So 85.53% of the great state of South Carolina is without drought. So that's a great place to be. If we went back and looked this time last year, this is a huge contrast. This is something to talk about, okay? This time last year, only 53% of the state was without drought. So roughly half of the state was experiencing drought this time last year with cold temperatures quickly approaching. If you remember, mid-December, late December was extremely cold last year, okay? And we were under drought. This year, we're far better off. Only, what's that, 17% or so, not even that, 14% of the state, 15% of the state is experiencing drought. That drought is isolated to the far, deep, deep low country of South Carolina. We're talking down on the border of Georgia, South Carolina coast. I mean, way down bottom left-hand corner of the state. Well, right-hand corner, depending on how you're looking at it.
The map.
Straight down corner, because South Carolina's got that triangle thing going on, right? So, you know, Beaufort County, probably, I think, what's that, Hampton County's down there.
Yeah.
The extreme, extreme low country South Carolina, you are experiencing drought. Our heart goes out to you because if you do get cold temperatures, you may have an opportunity to experience some of the winter injury that most of us experienced this past spring. And it was really, in my opinion, it was due to us being in drought. When the plants and the cell structure is starving for moisture, Scott, and we have sub-freezing temperatures, the cells begin to desiccate. It's no different than you deciding that you like to ride bikes. Mm-hmm. It's no different than you getting up early one morning and saying, you know, hey, I've been a little ill and a little sick, and I hadn't had much to drink here lately. I'm probably a little bit dehydrated, but you know what? I'm going to go ride my bike today. I'm feeling better. But you don't take in water before you ride the bike. What's going to happen to you?
It's a bad combination.
You know? Humidity's much, much lower. Wind's blowing across you because you're riding a bike. You're going to become more and more and more dehydrated as you continue. So you're going to make a bad situation even worse. It's the same thing with plants, especially turf grasses, even our smaller shrubs in our landscape, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's called desiccation. So keep that in mind. If you're in those counties that are under drought, even if you're in a county that has drought or not under drought, you know, we got a lot of rain last week all across most of, if not all of our listenership. But if we're going to get some really, really cold temperatures, make sure you hydrate that landscape before we get into that situation. Don't do it the night of. We don't want to ice everything up because that can lead to other potential problems, okay? Through plant health, not just other potential problems of having ice on your driveway or your walkway, but it can lead to other plant health issues. But we want to make sure we hydrate a few days beforehand. Get the landscape hydrated. That's going to be the thing I want to kind of, I guess, beat home. Your big takeaway. You know, what is that takeaway from today's show? Make sure the landscape is hydrated. I know you all think I'm nuts because if your front lawn's like mine, you can't walk across it without sinking 4 inches deep. But at some point, it's going to dry out, I'm afraid, at some point. But I don't know, because if you look at the Weather Channel, you look at some of this weather forecasting, it's kind of like hoodoo voodoo magic. I feel like sometimes it's forecasting way out. But if you look at it, they're saying that this winter could be potentially cooler and maybe a little bit moisture than normal. But they're saying definitely cooler. We've already had some cool snaps, man. It knocked the frost off the pumpkin yesterday morning. It was up above Rutherford, North Carolina. A little bit of wood badge action going on. Second weekend. Got pushed back because of the hurricane. Boy, they're freezing. I know they are. It was 27 yesterday morning.
And here you are inside of a nice warm studio.
Yeah. I endured it for one night, okay, yesterday morning. I'm good. So, Scott, we're not going to delay. We're going to go to Ted. He found us at 1-800-347-1063. The phone lines are open. I do want to remind our participants and listeners, right? Phone lines are open. Text lines are open, 71307. But let's go to Ted in Columbia. Hello, Ted, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, sorry I didn't.
October 15th.
Pardon? What were you saying about October 15th?
All right, October of 15, my daughter went through the flood, and we brought all her furniture and stuff to my house, and I went out in the driveway and hosed it all off. And the next spring, all my St. Augustine died right below the driveway where the water had run off.
Uh-huh.
So we replaced all the St. Augustine in the spring of 16. Everything was fine for 17. And then in the last spring, I went out and power washed my driveway, and this summer all that grass died again. So I'm wondering, is there something from power washing the driveway, chemicals or whatever coming from the concrete that could kill the grass?
Yeah, I mean, are you using any type of chemicals that you're applying to aid in cleaning the driveway would be my first question. Is there anything you're applying or anything?
Water.
Just straight water. You know, as far as the concrete releasing anything, I seriously doubt it. I really do. Now, as far as was there something maybe spilled on the concrete 6 months, 8 months earlier, or even a year or so ago that was absorbed by the concrete and then you power washing it, you're forcing it out, that could be the case. But, you know, the composition of concrete itself, I mean, it's a lot of the elements in there are the same elements you'll find in fertilizer a lot of times. So I doubt it's anything naturally occurring from the concrete itself, but my question would be, what is on there? You know, could it be something that was spilled or something along that lines? Now, the other thing it could be is you said that all the water runs down the driveway into one particular place, correct?
It's on a hill, so it's draining. It's not just sitting there.
Yeah. But all of it runs off the concrete into one isolated area, and then it has to either, you know, it either has to go through the profile of the soil or it has to run off the surface of the soil, correct? Because one thing I was going to say, and you were kind enough to hang around for a minute or two, you called in, and I appreciate you hanging around as I went on a rant about, hey, we got to make sure we keep lawns and the landscape hydrated as we get into the depths of winter and really severe cold temperatures. But we also need to make certain that we don't have excessive moisture prior to, you heard me make the comment about, you know, you don't want to go water the day it's going to freeze really hard or have the soil saturated, you know, beyond field capacity and allow it to freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw. So if you think back, and I'm not sure what the weather was, if you were pressure washing and you had some excessive moisture because you were, even though it were draining out, we know it's not going to drain out in a matter of 30 minutes. The soil's become saturated really deep with excessive moisture. And if we went through a couple of days of freeze-thaw right after that, then yes, that could lead to some potential problems as well. Now, as far as some type of pesticide or herbicide injury, it's pretty simple. If you look at the drain off, and I've seen this before, I've seen it on golf greens, I've seen it in lawns, I've seen it all kind of places where you can tell and get an idea visually, is does it look like the pattern of the death or the affected grass is a pattern that looks like the water running off and collecting for a short time before it runs through the soil. If that's the case, then yes, I think you could be looking at something that's more chemical related.
Well, it did kind of about a 15-foot square, and I don't think that's exactly the way the water was running, so that's probably not the problem.
That is probably not the problem. So what we could have, because it's St. Augustine, you said this, it's kind of a spring transition where you don't see the grass green up, then what I would begin to wonder, is this a large patch issue? Is this a disease issue in this one particular area where we're beginning to see large patch? Large patch is a soil-borne pathogen. So if you have it one year, you don't treat it, chances are you're going to get it there in the similar area. Maybe you may see it the next year, but you're going to see it there over a 5 to 10 year period. You may see it every other year. You may see it every year. It just depends on our environmental conditions as to how active it is in that particular year. Now, one thing that will increase the spread, development, and the amount of injury that you get from large patch is excessive water. So you made the comment that, hey, I pressure washed, and it seems like after I pressure washed, that would be what I would consider excessive water. You didn't see some type of disease or something coming in, so that could be contributing to it as well. So if you are going to pressure wash, here's my suggestion. Let's do it during the peak growing season of that lawn so it's very healthy and it can tolerate some of these changes in the environment. So you may want to think, if you're going to pressure wash, I know it's going to be hot, Ted. I know you're probably not going to like my statement, but you may want to do your pressure washing in June or July when that lawn is actively growing so that it can endure any type of changes in the environment or some adversity in the environment.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ted. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Scott, you know, great call.
Yes.
And, Ted, I appreciate it because it kind of plays in to what we're talking about. It's funny how this show just takes on its own persona some days, especially when you got the phone lines completely open and nobody wants to call in, you know. I guess it's cold, Scott. Everybody's sleeping in this morning. All snuggled up.
That's what I'd be doing.
Maybe having a cup of coffee by the fireplace.
Oh, that does sound good.
Nothing says Happy Turkey Day like a paddle of sod. I'm just saying. You know? Sod trucks. You got some availability this week prior to Turkey Day? I think you do. We'll figure it out. Nothing says Happy Turkey Day, Mom. Like a paddle of sod.
Mom.
Or dad. Or grandma. If you're going to grandma's, maybe she needs a paddle of sod.
Maybe she does. You know? It's a short week for us, too.
It is a short week. And you know. And for all of you who do get to go to grandma's this year, hug them. Have fun. I just want to throw that out there. Be thankful. It is Thanksgiving, after all. Enjoy it. Enjoy your family is what I say.
would say that as well.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
We get to enjoy ours. All of them. Both sides. Coming to the house. It'll be fun. It's a lot of work to get there. A lot of yard work this week for me. Because it's going to be dry. Looks like the weather's going to be great. I mean, we're talking all across the listenership, Scott, pushing 60 degrees every day with only 10% chance of rain. Imagine that. Scott, we're going to go to the text lines as we wait on a phone call to come in. It says here, what would you suggest to put on an old hog pen to prepare to grow garden next year? ? Lime? Probably. First thing I would do is certainly suggest a soil sample. They're free. We've got time. They're free with us, okay? I can just imagine everybody pulling a soil sample, taking it to the local Clemson Extension, going, well, you know, that guy at the Yard Pro, he said they're free. No, they're not free at Clemson Extension, but they are free through Carolina Fresh Farms. If you'll go during the week to www.carolinafreshfarms.com, there you will find a link to all of our retail stores. And if they have information of how to take a soil sample, if you need bags to collect it in, you can go to the store first, pick up a bag. If not, put it in a little Ziploc bag. They'll transfer it into a sample bag when you get there. But I would take a soil sample first. You're probably going to need some lime. You may need some organics in there. And you definitely, because it was a hog pen, we know it's severely compacted. We know that you're going to have to till it. And I'm talking 6-8 inches deep. Double dig it with a shovel if you can. We need to get the soils pliable again. And we need to get a uniform profile in that top 8 inches. If we can get the soil structure from inch zero being at the top to inch 8 in depth, if we can get that a uniform profile, you're going to have a better garden. No doubt about it. See, look at there, man. Scott's going, wow, that's technical, right?
That's deep.
That's technical. Well, seeds still germinate now that it's gotten colder. It's going to be tough. It's going to be slower. We're going to have some warm days. Soil temperatures, I hadn't looked at that. I'll try to pull that up maybe for the second 40, half of the show.
High 40s.
Soil temperatures?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think it was.
That low? That's shocking. Figured they'd still be up around 60 or 55. We just had one cold snap. I have to look that up. But, yes, yeah, seeds, they may still germinate, but they're going to be slow. There's no doubt about it. They're going to be slow. We're going to the phone lines. We have Larry in Graycourt. Hello, Larry, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Yes, good morning to you. Good morning. I've got a rose bush kind of growing wild out here in my yard, and I was wondering when a good time to cut that thing back might be and shape it up some.
Let's ask our resident ornamental guy here. Scott, what do you think?
All right.
Scott.
I would do it right about the end of January, 1st of February is when I would do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Sometime, let's let it get a little bit colder, and the reason being, Larry, I know the seasons have changed. The days are shorter. It's definitely getting cooler at night. Daytime temps aren't quite as warm. So you could do a little bit of light pruning now. My fear is, being a rose, if we pop out and have a couple days in the 70s, you know, which we're apt to have, you know, who knows? We've worn shorts on Christmas before.
Yeah, really.
And if we have some of those cold days, then we very likely, you might see a little flush of growth, which is not the end of the world. I don't think it'd be terribly detrimental to the rose bush, but that new flush of growth that comes out from it is probably not going to make it through the winter. It's probably going to die out and turn black. So if you can hold off till we get closer to Christmas or just after Christmas, 1st of January, I think it would be more appropriate. But if you feel like you need to prune it this week prior to Thanksgiving, then go after it. Knowing the backside, you may have a few issues.
Yeah, that was my thinking as well. I just want to confirm it, you know. I grew up around a lot of fruit trees, and we always waited till the January, February part time of year to prune those, you know. So, and I kind of had the same thoughts in mind. Hey, we put up with it this long. I can stand it another couple of months.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So, Larry, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving this week.
Hey, same to you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll try to come see you when we can.
All right, that'll be great. Thanks, Larry. Bye-bye. Yeah, Scott, thank you. You got the soil temperature, and you're right. Some of them have dropped down into 40s. The actual five-day average in Columbia, South Carolina, just pulled it middle of the state, 50.8 degrees. The 24-hour average is 48.3. The current soil temperature is 43. It is early in the morning. It'll continue to rise today with the sun. So, dude, I can't believe they've gotten that cold, but oh well. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to get some seeds to germinate right now because soil temperature is really dropping fast. We're going to go to Frank in Lyman. Hello, Frank, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So the question I have is we're finishing up a new home, and it's time to put sod in, and I've been given a choice of going with either Bermuda or Centipede. I know they're similar, but I'm not sure what might be the best choice for me or what your thoughts are on that.
If you're in Lyman, you know, I say this because a lot of our listenership, Centipede is certainly acceptable. But if you're in Lyman, South Carolina, and you have full sun and you can grow Bermuda, I think that might be a better option for you long term, just my opinion. The Centipede, fine and dandy, your variety of lawn to have. However, winters can be a little detrimental on Centipede. Large patch is going to be a bigger issue on Centipede. See, part of me from a salesman's standpoint should be, hey, let's sell him Centipede because we can then sell Frank everything he needs to apply to it during the year, and it'll be a, you know, from a fungicide standpoint, it'll be a, you know, 2 to 3 times the cost as compared to what you need to apply to Bermuda in a year. But from an ease of maintenance long term, I would rather you spend your money on fertilizer because it is a higher fertilizer requirement with Bermuda, but I'd rather you spend it there and have a more beautiful lawn than to have to spend more money on fungicide. So if you can grow Bermuda and lime in South Carolina, I think that's the option I would take.
Okay. Well,
all right.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Have a great weekend and happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
You guys, too.
All right, bye-bye. Folks, you are listening to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. You can find us during the week. It's pretty simple, www.carolinafreshfarms.com. We do have to take that wonderful bottom-of-the-hour break. Not so wonderful if you're Ron on hold. So, Ron, please hold in. We'd love to talk to you when you come back. You are listening to the Yard Pros. We'll talk to you in a few. Welcome back, folks, to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
Oh, Scott, you were in deep thoughts there.
I was.
Yeah, I saw that. Too busy playing on that phone, Scott. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, Daddy.
Yeah, had to do a little presentation yesterday about generations. And Scott apparently identifies more with the new generation, who's always glued to the social media. Not really social media. You're glued to texting.
I have no social media.
You're like a texting king or something. You can ask any of my friends, especially my wife. I don't text.
Or answer the phone.
Now, you're more than happy to text me anytime you want. If I reply, you're one of the lucky ones. Yeah. Maybe 2 out of 100.
And it would be a week later.
Maybe. If I reply. I'm just not a texter. Never have been. You know, part of that is I'm always on the road. And I don't think these folks want me, these nice young men and young ladies who listen and get up every Saturday and listen to the Yard Pros, I don't think they want me driving while I'm texting. I'm just saying. So, Scott, we have been waiting patiently to talk to our good friend Ron in Greer. Hello, Ron, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning. Hey, a quick question that came up before I get to my primary reason for calling.
Sure.
The whole pruning situation. That's pretty much January, February, just about everything. Am I correct on that?
It really is about everything, Ron, almost everything in our landscape. Now, the one thing you don't want to prune during the winter months is anything that blooms early spring, like an azalea. That's the primary one. We don't want to go out and prune azaleas now because they've already set this year's growth, and that's what they're going to bloom on come spring of the year. So if it blooms early in the spring, like an azalea, yeah, you don't want to prune it. Don't prune your camellias either because, you know, they've already budded up. I already have a camellia, believe it or not, Ron, blooming in the yard. We have a Sasanka.
When do you prune that kind of thing?
Right after bloom drop. So as soon as the azaleas drop their blooms, that's the time you need to prune them. So once they drop blooms, prune them.
Because
go ahead.
I've got some encores. They're blooming now.
Yeah.
And they'll probably be, you know, multiple times.
Yeah, and see, that plant's a little different, Scott. When do you prune encore?
Say exact same thing. Right after they bloom.
Let them bloom in the spring, and once they get that first bloom in the spring, then you go in and prune them.
Great. Hey, and that's why that segues into my next comment here. I want to thank y'all, and I'll be thanking God for a whole lot of different things, including how y'all have helped me get my yard in control and looking really good and being easier to maintain. And a lot of times I may call and I may even ask a question I've asked y'all before, only because I've heard somebody else say something else that might, maybe I didn't get all the information they wanted to give me. Maybe something else came in my mind or whatever. But I even thank you for going over something I may have asked before, because I'll tell you what, y'all are my first number one source for going to check to make sure whatever I hear, whatever I read, and whatever I got to do is right in line with what needs to get done, because you have all never failed me yet.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate
Thank
that,
you.
Ron. I really do, because, you know, and it goes both ways. You know, business, and more importantly, it's not about business. It's about life and friendships and doing the right thing. And it, quite honestly, it's a two-way street. We are extremely thankful for you and for everyone else, for, you know, Bob. I'll go ahead and give him a shout-out, who's on the hold right now. Excuse me. We are thankful for all of you who support us. And this is the intent. This is what we're after, is we want to share some knowledge. It's not an exact science, Ron. There's no doubt about it. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's so many sayings and cliches that go into this industry. There's not an exact science. But if we all sit back and talk and have legitimate conversations about how to address issues in the landscape, then just think of this. It's going to be easier for you. It's going to be easier for me. And it's going to be more enjoyable for those who like to enjoy the landscape. So, and it's kind of ironic during the bottom of the hour, even Scott, you know, he and I were talking. He said, you know, I'm pretty thankful for Ron and the other customers and the other listeners like Ron who give us the support that we need and make this fun and enjoyable. Because trust me, this radio show helps us grow. It keeps us on our toes. So we appreciate it, and we hope you and your family have an absolutely wonderful Thanksgiving.
Same to you, and thanks once again.
Thank you, Ron. Enjoy. You know, that's nice. That's what I want to hear. So we have no other text right now, but we do have Bob. I kind of alluded to that. And Greer. Hello, Bob, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hi, guys. Hey, listen, I was just on hold and listening to the response, and I think you've answered my question. It had to do with the encore. And I was thinking I was just going to go out and let the last blooms fall and prune them, but you're saying no, do it in the springtime, correct?
After that first spring drop of flowers.
So after the first bloom in the season. Right. And Bob, I have to refer to Scott on this, because that's a more modern plant that back in my day, and don't let him fool you, Bob, he's actually got a few years on me, but in the industry, back in my day when I was more heavily involved in ornamental plants, encores weren't around.
Right.
So
right.
I'm not as familiar, but Scott, you're saying that those really should
encore.
Be
prune
after,
right
the first,
after the
bloom.
First bloom.
So prune after the first bloom on an encore in the season.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
A light prune, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask a question about that also. These are 2 years old now, and it's a new planting, and we have sun coming up in the east, but in this bed we have two large dogwood trees, and we put pink encores in the front. There's about six or seven or eight of them in the front, and then there's whites in the back. And the back whites do not get as much sun. And they did not bloom this fall. One or two of them bloomed, but is that because of the sun?
Of the sunlight, yes, sir. That's it.
Yeah, but that won't they won't die because of not.
They won't flourish like the ones in the front.
Mm-hmm. And fertilization, I was someplace at a nursery and they suggested, and in the spring of this year, I pulled the mulch back and I fertilized, and they made a suggestion of a fertilizer, and I can't remember the name of it now, And they also told me to put some other stuff down too. And I did that. Is it necessary to fertilize again?
Spray. I would do it spring and fall.
Spring and fall.
Yes, sir.
And what is your recommendation of fertilizer for the Encores?
Oh, a good any well good balanced fertilizer. You know, a triple 14 or a what's the other wood ace?
Oh, that's the 12-3-6. They call it ACR. It's actually an acidifying fertilizer. So if you don't feel like the soils, if you feel like they're not quite acidic enough, and you may want to, you know, Bob, here's a neat thing. I said it earlier. I'll put another plug in, Scott. Free soil samples. We don't limit you to just one soil sample per year or anything like that. You can bring us all you want. So you may want to sample those azalea beds or those areas the azaleas are growing separately because if they're not quite acidic enough, they may not bloom as well because azaleas do like they like a little more acidic soil. Right. And if you find you need to acidify the soil, there's a fertilizer that can acidify that.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could remember the name of the fertilizer. It was recommended to me by this particular nursery that we bought them. And they sell it at Lowe's and so forth. And, geez, I can't remember the name. Next time I call, I'll mention it to you and see what you think about that. But it's made specifically for azaleas.
And was it organic fertilizer? Was it Espoma?
No.
Okay.
No. I was just listening to the show, and then I just heard you talking about this, and I should have gone out in the garage and seen what it was. But anyway, that's okay. I used it, and the pink ones bloomed beautifully 2 times this year, and I guess we'll just fertilize it again. I could fertilize it again right now for the winter?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Okay. All right. And then in the spring again before they bloom?
I would do it right about mid-March to the first week of April.
Okay. All right, super. Well, again, thank you guys very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate, like Ron, everything that you do. I every time I have the opportunity to listen to the show, I do, and you've given me a tremendous amount of advice, and it gives me the best lawn I've had and ever since I've been listening to you guys. So I appreciate it, and I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving and a very, very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and you as well.
Same to you. Okay. Have a great week, Bob.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Bye. Scott.
Yes.
So, trying to figure out how to use these phone lines again, man.
You
I tell
and
you
buttons.
What. Me and buttons. I love buttons. Problem is, I just push them.
And I'm serious. Don't ever get in an elevator with Mills.
Yeah, I don't read the whatever's on the button, the label.
He just starts
I just push
right
them. Like, I wonder what this button does. They're fun. Even Angela gets mad sometimes. She's afraid I'm just going to push a button. So, hey, great call. We hope. You know, it's interesting how we've transitioned the season. It should tell you what's going on in the landscape. And this is leading into Chris in Simpsonville, our next caller on the line. But it's interesting how we're beginning to transition, and we begin to see more and more questions. And thank goodness we are about fertilizing plants. Okay, it used to be no one ever really thought about fertilizing plants, but I'm proud to report we're getting a lot of questions, a lot of calls about that because it's very crucial is we have to tend to our plants and fertilize them. We all get excited about fertilizing lawns. And you know we are a sod producer. We're Carolina Fresh Farms, right?
Right.
And we enjoy fertilizing lawns. We can see the benefit. The problem with fertilizing plants, you can't always see the result. You don't realize it until 6 months, 12 months, 18 right. months later when you scratch your head because you're at – your friend's house for a dinner party, and you're like, well, we got the same plants here, but his don't look so good, and mine do. Well, a lot of times it's because you have been tending to yours. You know, fertilizing a plant or fertilizing a tree, fertilizing shrubs, you don't quite see the results. You don't get that gratification, that instant gratification like you do a lawn.
And we get a lot of questions, you know, why would you fertilize a plant in the or a tree in the fall going into winter when it drops all its leaves, it's not growing. But it stores all that stuff.
It's still growing.
For next spring.
It's still
exactly
active. It's
right.
still growing. And it leads into our next caller. Chris, I think, has some questions about pruning shrubs and pruning trees. But we're seeing this transition from, hey, man, I got something killing my grass, to, hey, what do I do about the rest of the landscape? This is a prime time of the year. And we hadn't even touched on it, but even mulching this week. You know, I should say nothing says Thanksgiving like 12 yards of double ground hardwood mulch. Right? because this is the time of year we get the leaves up. We need to think about replenishing the mulch in our beds. We don't need a lot. We just need to spruce it up, right? We need to replace what deteriorated. So let's go to Chris in Simpsonville. Hello, Chris, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, guys, and first-time caller. Thank you for taking the call.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't have any kind of special. We'll just say, I tell you what, Chris, we appreciate you being a participant. You are no longer a listener. You are now a participant. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. My question is pretty general, but I've got some laurel petalum in my home and around my home, and I've also got some crepe myrtles. And I'm wondering about when I should prune those.
Well, crepe myrtles, you're light pruning, you know, like the little suckers on the bottom. You can prune those, snap those off any time of the year. But a crepe myrtle, I would definitely wait till the main part, end of January, 1st of February.
Okay.
Would be the and but a laurel petalum, you could do that spring or fall. Or.
Yeah, I don't think pruning a laurel petalum right before a heavy freeze will do anything detrimental to that plant. That, I mean, that thing is like an invasive weed or something, you know. Those laurel petalums grow.
See, and fast.
I got a chuckle out of Chris. He knows. And they grow fast. So you can, what I would like, what I suggest to people when you're pruning, there's two ways. You can either get the shears out, you know, whether the gasoline or electric. Remember the old electric shears? Man, they were great. And you can shear shrubbery. To kind of spruce it up. To me, that's good for a little light pruning, like a laurel petalum during the growing season where it begins to get hairy. You can give it a little haircut, shape it up. But what I would like to see you do with the laurel petalums, it's not going to be detrimental, but if a good time to do this is sometime around the holidays or the first of the year, if you'll go in and hand prune. So many people don't know the art of hand pruning and have gotten away from hand pruning. Taking a pair of hand clippers or a pair of lopping shears and hand pruning your shrubbery once a year in the winter when it's not actively growing, you can thin it out. And to me, that's the key to lower petal. You can take height out of the plant, and you can also thin it if you will hand prune it. Azaleas, you know, we've talked a lot, and you've heard that, Chris, today, a lot about pruning azaleas. The worst thing you can do is put shears on them. Azaleas should always be hand pruned. And you always prune that, what people refer to, that cane, that one stem that's coming up kind of from the base of the plant and growing up through the top, and then it gets bushy and leafy on the end. Go all the way. Don't just cut the leaves off. Go all the way back into the plant and thin it out that way. Kind of the same with laurel petalums. I think that helps keep the plant a little airier, a little more natural looking versus looking just like a mop head of leaves. Because I think that's where people run into problems with laurel petalums. That, and I feel like they plant laurel petalums in a spot that's just too small for what they are and where they grow.
Yeah, I think I did that too. But I think they're attractive plants.
They are attractive plants. They bring a contrast and a color to the landscape that's kind of hard to get from other plants.
I like them a whole lot better than I like those crepe myrtles. I really wish I could get rid of those, but my wife won't let me get rid of them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'll give you a tip on the crepe myrtles, and we'll talk about it late winter, early spring. There's a little saying called crepe myrter, where everybody wants to murder the plant by they just take a chainsaw out and just buzz it off at chest high. Do not do that.
And take it from a tree to a shrub.
If you do that, you're really going to hate the crepe myrtle. But if you take a pole pruner as it gets taller, it's tree form. You know, crepe myrtle is a small tree, most varieties. There are a few that are more designed to be more like a shrub or bred to be more like a shrub. But if you'll take a pole saw out and use the clippers on the ends, all you want to do on a crepe myrtle is where that bloom begins to brown out and die now that it's dropping leaves, once all the leaves have fallen off, if you'll take a pole pruner out and just prune from where that terminal bud was this year, if you'll prune the end of that back about a foot or 2 foot, and then thin out those inner branches by hand with a little handsaw or your pruning saw, you know, the things that go back to the central trunk, and make sure you don't have any branches crossing. If you'll thin it out and if you'll just prune the tips of those buds off, I think you'll learn to enjoy the crepe myrtle better, unless you planted it right by an entry door or your garage door. Then you will always despise the crepe myrtle because it is a trashy, trashy tree when it blooms.
Yeah, it's very close to the home, that's for sure. Just one other question. I just planted some tea olive plants or shrubs, and they have a very fragrant scent to them. And Do you have any thoughts on how to care for them? Because I really like that that scent they have. I put them next to my mailbox. And,
there's not much to maintaining a tea olive other than mm-hmm. one thing that if you plant them next to your mailbox, you hope you have room to let them grow because it is a larger specimen plant. But there's really not mm-hmm. much to them other than a little bit of shaping. At certain times of the year, you know, once again, if you want to use the shears to shape them a bit, but once a year I would get out there with a pair of loppers, and you're going to have to wear long plants. Even though they're not real prickly, they still have little prickly points on them. But you need to reach mm-hmm. in there and thin them out a little bit as they begin to get thicker. But great plant, not hard to grow. Grow pretty prolific, really, in our environment.
Good. Glad to hear that. Thanks, sir. I hope you have a great weekend, great holidays.
I hope you do too. The same, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, Scott, I can't believe it.
It was a shrub and tree day.
It was a shrub and tree day, but it's like I said, we're beginning to transition. We're seeing this transition. Everybody, hopefully, at this point, let's recap it. Where should you be? In the lawns. Where should you be? At this point, you should have applied your large patch fungicide. That's pretty much gone by the wayside. But these soil temps dropping down, low 50s, upper 40s, large patch activity, pretty much done, right? If you do have large patching lawn, sorry, disease not as active. If you came into the store, I'd probably say, hey, don't put any more fungicide out, but make sure you do it in the spring when the soil temps begin to increase. Pre-emergent for weeds, hopefully that has been done for a while because POA is starting to germinate. I'm sure if we look closely, if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to begin to see some henbit or purple dead nettle.
I've seen that already.
And you know henbit, what's interesting about it?
You know, that the stem's square.
The stem is square, but that's what's interesting about henbit and purple dead nettles. Pretty interesting. So
it's in the mint family.
So yeah, but
I will go to my deathbed remembering that.
If there's one thing that I have taught you and all the listeners out there, is henbit and purple dead nettle have a square stem. It's kind of cool, man. I'm just telling you. Roll it between your index finger and your thumb. Next time you got some in the yard, and you'll go, golly gee. That guy is right. It's a square stem. How do things grow square naturally? Isn't that crazy? You know, when I was at Clemson and in a vegetable production class, the big rave in Japan was growing really high-end fruits and vegetables like squashes, watermelons, okay? They grew them in greenhouses. And they were very prized, very expensive crop. You don't see a lot of that fresh always in Japan because they don't have a lot of agronomic lands like you would, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it's mountainous, okay?
Yes.
So, and I don't know. I've never been there. I think you've been there, right?
I've been there.
So a lot of it's mountainous, correct? Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing, and they did this, one, as an oddity to make it a specialty crop, but two, they did it from a shipping standpoint. They were growing watermelons in a square box. So once it would bloom, the vine, and it would set fruit, they would put that in like a clear plastic type square box and allow that fruit to mature into it. So it's a square. Or a rectangle. Why would they do that? One, it's kind of cool. And you know, they're really into culinary arts. Could you imagine that?
I mean, it would be the perfect slice.
From presentation on the plate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really cool. But here's the other reason. Shipping. Think about it.
Oh, you just stack it.
If tomatoes were squares, they probably wouldn't get bruised as much during shipping. And think about all the voids in a box when you got something round mm-hmm. that's not the same size as the other. Think of all the voids, all the air. You're shipping air. No, it doesn't cost anything. But does it? Because a lot of times shipping's based on the size of the box. If you don't believe it, wait till we get through Thanksgiving, everybody starts Christmas shopping, and you go to the local shipping store. It's all about the box size now, right?
If it fits.
Wouldn't that be cool? The odd things we come up with here on the Yard Pro Show.
A square.
Maybe we can get our good buddy Jim and Easley to figure out how to grow some square watermelons. Wouldn't that be cool? Jim's probably scratching his head right now going, man, I'm doing that. Square watermelons. Isn't that cool? So, Scott, it's been a great show.
It has.
an absolutely wonderful show, I would say. Wouldn't you?
I would.
So I say we wrap it up. It's Thanksgiving week, don't you?
Okay.
Let's not forget. Let's be thankful. You know, we've said it. Ron called in to kick off the bottom hour of the show. We're extremely thankful for all the listeners, all the participants, as I like to call you, those who text us, those who call us. We're extremely thankful. We're thankful for the customers who come to the store, who support us. We're thankful for the communities in which we live in. I know I am. What a great community. We're thankful for this state of South Carolina, for the United States, and for all the people who are in it who make it what it is. Correct?
Correct.
So take a little time. Think about that as you go through this week. I normally close the show and say happy gardening, right?
Yes.
I say it's happy turkey eating, and I say be thankful. After all, a little tidbit of information. Thanksgiving's been around since the 1600s. Now, not always this time of year. It used to be in July and August because it was the end of the crop season. And now it's in November. But take a little bit of time. Enjoy your holiday week. I'm sure many of you, like us, will be closed. As a reminder, we will be closed and observing as of noon on Wednesday. All retail stores across the state of South Carolina in the Carolina Fresh Farms umbrella will be closed. And we will talk to you on Saturday. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Post-Thanksgiving. Folks, it's been a great time. We hope you have a great week eating turkey.